Hello, and welcome to Waldman's Words. As you could probably tell, I am not Scott Waldman. I am Emily Burke. I co-host this show every once in a while. I'm also Scott's assistant and now co-manager. And, you know, this is going to be a special episode because this is the very first episode of Burke's Words, where if I had my own show, I'd probably find another name, but I am not creative enough to think of one right now.
Burke's Blemishes.
Hey.
Sorry.
My show.
Sorry.
But yeah, Scott's in the room because obviously. But anyway, it's me interviewing Scott today. And I feel like, you know, this would be episode 97. So very, very close to 100. You get to know Scott very, very well. But do you know him that well? But anyway, you know, I've been working with Scott for over 2 years. Best guy ever. Super thankful for him. Wow, if you're going to keep talking, I'm going to have to leave the room.
I'll leave the room. Oh, wait. Grab me when you're ready.
Oh, God, I just made more work for myself. Anyway, so I'm very, very excited to be here and to do this episode just because I think Scott is really cool and he obviously has a lot of words to say or else he wouldn't have a show called Waldman's Words. He'd have a show called, like, Waldman Sitting or something like that. As you could tell, I've been around him for too long, and I need to regrow my sense of humor. Anyway, Waldman's Words will be back up next week, and it premieres every single Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and then again on Sundays at 8 a.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. Pacific. He always gets on me about doing it backwards, but you know what? I'm looking out for you East Coast people, because I live there sometimes, and I like it. I don't like snow, though. Anyway, that is besides the point. This is a very special episode of Burke's Words with the very first guest, Scott Waldman. Stay tuned. Update, guys. I just got word. I'm sorry. I'm laughing so hard. So this is my first, like, solo intro, and I don't know exactly how everything works. I just know how to, like, press the button and record and edit it. But apparently intros are supposed to be 3 minutes minimum. I only spoke for 2 minutes because what else do I have to say? I see this guy every single day. So I'm going to talk for another 30 seconds before this episode starts. But I feel like there really doesn't need to be more of an intro, you know? If you are an active listener of the show, you know who Scott is. You know what his voice sounds like. You know he has a dog named Gucci who I love more than him, and I'll put it out on record. So he's going to hear this episode and hear... Actually, this episode is dedicated to Gucci Waldman because I love her so much. And I hope that she is having a fantastic day because she deserves it. Anyway, welcome to Burke's Words with guest Scott Waldman. Welcome back to Burke's Words, the very special episode of Waldman's Words featuring me, Emily Burke, interviewing my very first guest, Scott Waldman.
So I'm taking this very seriously, but I also wanted an apple. Can I eat
Are
this apple?
Are you eating during my interview?
I am, but I'm asking for permission because I don't have to.
I'm going to say yes, but sparingly.
Okay, that's fair. It's your show.
Yeah, thank you. I know, it is my show. I feel too powerful. How do you do this every single week?
Persevistence.
Of course. But as I said in the intro, I feel like this guy needs no introduction because it's his show.
Not this episode, though.
So we're going to, like, go straight into it. And I feel like, you know, there's already stuff that you've talked about before in the show. I made a very big point in the intro to shout out Gucci Waldman.
Oh, Kelly's going to be very happy.
So just like general intro, we're here with Scott Waldman. He's a artist manager. He plays in a band called Lido Beach. He used to play in a band called The City Drive and others called Greenlight Theory and all that jazz. And I just want you to get into, you know, how have things been recently? I feel like when we talk to guests, we always talk about, like, oh, here's our experience with whatever you're talking about. We never talk about the right now.
Okay. We just did an interview with Wobby Funkel literally 5 to 10 minutes ago.
Hi, Wobby.
What up, Funk? I grabbed an apple.
Yes.
And I'm doing an interview right now. This morning, I've had several phone calls because that's the nature of the beast. I actually worked out on the beach this morning, too. I'm trying something new. And I've lived in Southern California for 15 years, and I haven't taken advantage of the beach, which is fucking nuts. Yeah, and shit. The rest of this day, yeah, hopefully I don't shit during the process. But after this, I have another call. I have a lunch meeting. And then Emily Burke is coming over, and I'm very grateful to her, to do some Emily work.
Wow. No, I just want this episode to be like a little like of a shoot the shit, because I feel...
What's the shit?
Everything's the shit. I'm the shit. You're the shit. Welcome to 2018.
I'm a dude. We're all dudes. He's a dude.
My name is Jonas.
Oh, this is going to be the most ADD episode we've ever... What?
It honestly is, but I think it's because, you know, we have done so many episodes of this show. I feel like people who actively listen have gotten to know the both of us pretty well.
Thank you, people.
Yeah, and I mean, I've had my own separate episode of this show, but I think if we kind of like...
I just banged my headphones nodding into the microphone. That's never happened.
I have done that 1,000 times. So as you can see, you know, we've done a lot of episodes, but we're still kind of learning.
What is this, 97?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Wait, what year were you born?
97.
You don't think that was a coincidence? No. Mic drop.
Did you really plan that or did that just happen? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I really did because I'm fucking crazy.
Oh my God. Well, I kind of want to get into spin. This. And let's do it as, you know, a shoot the shit, but also we're going to tie in experience and advice, because everything that I have learned from Scott Waldman, minus like I went to college and all that, but like what do you learn in college?
I taught her potty training. I taught her Robert Burke. You didn't do any of that. I talked about in your last episode. I'll do this again. She learned nothing in Woodland Hills or in the Burke House. Everything. She didn't even learn anything in the Berkshires. She learned everything from Gucci Waldman.
Gucci Waldman is everything to me. And like I said, this episode is dedicated to Gucci Waldman.
What's up, G Diddy? Gucci's always listening. Gucci's a dog, Gucci's so her hearing is really, really sensitive.
Oh, my God. But I want to go into, because I have learned everything that I know from Scott Waldman, and I'm still learning
stuff from Scott
Waldman.
I love that you say that on Burke's words. That's awesome. Well, I've learned a lot from you, too, for the record.
It's just something where it's like, here is this person that has all of this knowledge.
Oh, no.
I mean, some knowledge.
Better.
And is also eating an apple during my interview.
I asked for permission.
Yeah, I know. I'm too nice.
You could have said no. In fact, if you want me to stop, I will.
No.
Granted, it will ace the apple. It'll ace it.
But I think, you know, I'm going to go in and start at actually when we met. So this was 2016 in the summer.
Pre-current administration.
Yeah, it was still the Obama era. Everything was fine and peaceful. And
Today is not today. Today, our episode will be airing in about 2 weeks. Trump lambasted his attorney.
Oh, God.
Ugh. Trump is a fucking scummy, scummy fuck.
Yes, yeah, so let's take it all the way back to simpler times. With
when
Obama
The Apprentice
in the White
was
House.
Just a TV show.
Yeah. And I had a Michelle Obama calendar on my kitchen wall.
That's fucking sick.
I know. It was really cool. Jess Castillo, shout out to you. Thanks for getting that for me for Christmas.
Your roommate.
Yeah, my roommate. But so this was summer 2016. I had just finished up my freshman year in college at Drexel. And I came back home to LA. And you and I met for coffee in Brentwood. And...
Shout out to Cafe Lux.
That is no longer
just
there.
Just so you know, Danger Kids, literally, this is ADD, just tweeted about the Tyler show.
Oh my God, shout out Tyler Smith. You are amazing.
You're an amazing guest, dude. And I'm really happy that you're using that account to do that, which means that, high five, he liked the show. Boom.
I liked the show.
Amesies.
But so let's go back to that time in Brentwood. I remember I'm going to go into personal. I was really nervous about it because I had zero experience in the music industry.
But everyone starts with zero experience.
Yeah, and I had like zero connections or anything. I wrote for this blog called Hit the Stage Promotion. Shout out to Shauna and Ashley, who just graduated at Drexel and who ran JJ's Diner.
It's amazing. Definitely huge, 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 huge shout outs to Hit the Stage. If yeah. Hit the Stage hadn't happened, I would not have met the most important person I met in my 15 years in this industry.
Actually,
that's
also,
you.
Shout out
that's
to
you. Take a compliment.
I'll take it. Shout out to Trisha Paytas. And
I don't know if I could support that shout. No, she helped Greenlight Theory monumentally.
Yeah, I actually found Greenlight Theory because she met a guy named Kyle Ruchland in a Cheesecake Factory, and he shouted out his band, Greenlight Theory, and I followed you guys on Twitter because of that video. I guess if we really want to put it in small terms, I owe my career to Trisha Paytas. Thank you.
I could argue the same, I guess, because, again, on record, I'm not going to eat the apple while saying this. You're the best person in this entire industry.
Yeah, and it's
I love like that. She's like, yeah, I am.
I know.
She's selectively humble.
I hear it all the time.
Yeah, no, I really, you probably do know. How many people are adding you on social media now?
Hey, add me on Instagram at Emily Burke.
What about Facebook and LinkedIn? Aren't you getting a plethora lately?
Facebook is crazy, and I feel like I really need it. Is there any other, I want to say, 17 to 25-year-old out there that still has their Facebook because it's necessary
Hannah
to
Fine.
Have? Hannah Fine, my best friend. But you don't ever really use it or, like, post on it.
Hannah Fine.
You'll like stuff.
Hannah Fine.
Oh, we'll get to Hannah Fine. Hannah Fine is on here.
Hannah Fine.
If you haven't listened to the show before, Hannah Fine is my best friend of, like, 18 years.
Your friendship can buy cigarettes and die in Vietnam.
It can't buy cigarettes in the state of California. You have to be
21. Are you serious?
You didn't
see,
know
See, I learn everything. See, I learn from you.
You have to be 21.
Fucking good. Another political rant. Here's the thing. Why is it illegal to procure marijuana, but legal on cigarettes and alcohol? Why? Doesn't make any sense to me.
Hannah
Fine. Well, your dad's a lawyer. Why,
An
Robert?
Immigration lawyer.
They're all the same bottom feeders.
True. But let's see.
Hannah Fine.
Hannah Fine, yeah, my best friend. But she's in the grouping, too, where, you know, she still has a Facebook, but she never really posts or uses it. But, you know, you'll go on and you'll like stuff and everything. So I think there's a lot of people that are on the same boat. Would you actually say, out of like all the social media sites, because I know you say this sometimes and you mention it on the show,
what, that Facebook's responsible for a lot of my income?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But how would you, because I think my biggest trouble with that as well is, like, how would you start to make connections via Facebook and not make it seem like a creepy or just
no matter
an
what
annoying thing?
An intro connection is always, especially if you have no contacts or no real relationship with them, it's going to potentially sound like a sales pitch. I mean, life is a sales pitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I started using Facebook tentatively because it came out a few years before I started using it. I was using Friendster and MySpace, but in 2007, and I'll give James Eager, he was a buddy of mine that we worked together in a music camp, was always telling me I should try Facebook, and I was like, I'm not in college. I've been out of college for 4 years now. I feel creepy. You needed an EDU to be a part of Facebook. This is pre, like, now your mom and grandma are on it, and I'm actually Facebook friends with your mom. So proof of concept. Oh, and my mom. No, it is what it is. And my wife is actually calling. Should we answer this on the air? No, she'll kill me.
Yeah.
I'll actually shoot her a text.
And I like Kelly, and I don't want her to not like me.
No, no, she does like you. A lot, actually. Seriously. I'm just being Miley. So with Facebook, well, I don't know why I enunciated like that. I was tentative, but then I signed up in 2007, and I guess that was 11 years ago, and I've just been building relationships in that regard because I started using Facebook like around the time that I quit the City Drive and did Lido Beach, and I can tell you that, I mean, the Lido Beach audience really, really prospered through Facebook, but then when I started working behind the scenes 3 years ago, I know that a lot of, I guess, how I get the word out to certain people is through Facebook, and people reach out to me on Facebook more than email, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, definitely.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, do you think that they're, what is special, or like, what does Facebook have that like Twitter and Instagram doesn't, where you think it's like better in terms of business? Or do you think that there are some people that could do business through Twitter?
You can do a business. You can do business on Twitter and Instagram. You could do it over email. In fact, I prefer doing business over email. But Facebook is just kind of lowest common denominator in the way that it's like, you don't need to know someone's phone number. You don't need to know someone's handle or even email. You just know their name. And you could literally just hit message. Boom, it's that easy. Like right now, I can do that with anyone. And I don't know. I think people, some people, can't speak for them all, but they feel more comfortable doing it that way.
Yeah. I mean, I know there are some people that are like super, super personal on Facebook and they keep everything private. I used to be one of those people where everything of mine was private, but I was like, I have a big...
I could never tell.
Wow. That he was being facetious.
Facetious.
But I feel like my Twitter and my Instagram have always been public. But I feel like
most of my connections...
Yeah, it's a generational thing as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it also does by like whatever you're in, like whatever your job is. Because I know a lot of people who model get a lot of stuff from Instagram. Whereas like people in music like do a lot of
writers
stuff
on Twitter.
Writers on Twitter, journalists on Twitter too.
I have a weird thing because I'm like a Z-list celebrity, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like I had a band that did well in Lido Beach, actually did better, just didn't have a record deal, like in terms of sales and people at shows. So I've had that minor degree of fame. So for me as a manager, it's a little bit more different than others. And some managers are like completely private, all business. And I mean, I've gotten people telling me this is good and bad, but I even air anti-Trump shit on my things. I don't do it like a few other people in my feed who do it every minute of every day. But if I'm actively doing something against it, like voting for Bernie or writing a song that's like a fuck Rick Santorum song, which I have done, then I do it. But I have found that the best engagement for me has been on Facebook without question, because Twitter, like DMing someone, they might have to follow you. And I found my DM ratios have been very, very slim. I've done a few. Instagram, I mean, the comments are so public on both. Like, even when someone writes happy birthday to someone on Facebook, I look at that as an advertisement for themselves because I'm pessimistic.
Oh, God.
I know, it's fucked. I'm crazy. But I don't know. I found that, for me, Facebook has been the best of all those sites. But email is always preferred. I love that word. Yeah. I mean, because this doesn't feel like... Well, it is Burke's word, so it might be a different format, but we're just waxing poetic. I love it. I wasn't expecting this.
Well, this is stuff that I have worked, I'm putting air quotes, in the industry for like
2 years or so. No, you have actually, just so you know, since day one of you interning, when you actually helped with a band I don't even manage anymore, you've been working in the industry for 2 years, and you're still a college student. I just want you to know, like, I've had a bunch of interns, some have lasted longer than others, but you're the best.
Thank you. But I was like going to say about how...
Sorry for the compliment, bro.
No, you're good. I've been working in this industry for like 2+ years. I have an amazing mentor. I meet people all the time who like are really good at what they do, but I still have questions about little things like Facebook and Twitter and all that jazz too, because I feel like it's something where some people have it figured out and other people, you know,
no one has it figured out, just so you know. Everyone's guessing all the fucking time, because what I say to you literally verbatim with my voice, someone in the Adobe studios outside the room, I could say the same exact thing verbatim and they could digest it differently. Same with email, same with Facebook, same with Twitter, and same with Instagram. And I'm trying to get better at reading the room. And I can assure you that I've fucked up reading the room many, many times. But my theory on this is, as long as you're a good person, as long as you have accountability and integrity, and you don't have bad intentions, you'll be okay.
I think that's a really good way of putting things.
Thank you.
You know, like,
Waldman's words with Emily Pope.
Honestly. And I, you know, because I feel like, as I said in the beginning, people know who we are now and they know our like backstories, and I don't know if they want to hear it again.
No, I mean, honestly, who cares what they want? They're listening. Yeah.
That's true. Thank you for listening. But you know, there's so many people, and I see it all the time, because there's Facebook groups, going back to Facebook, where it's like music industry networking. There's so many people.
I hate that word, by the way.
Networking?
I hate it.
Really?
Yeah, because I feel like it's what can you do for me, what can I do for you, yeah, type thing. And when people write in their intro message to me, just want to network, I'm just like, so what do you fucking want?
Yeah.
It seems more sales pitchy and douchey to me.
That's what I was kind of going for.
I know what you were going for being sales pitchy and douchey?
Yes. No.
Best show ever.
But I feel like a lot of the posts on there, especially for people who are my age and younger, and maybe even a little older than me. 21.
I know. And so I know he said 97, and I seriously, yes, like, that was part of the plan.
No way.
Because I'm fucking crazy. So you're 21.
Yeah.
And I know that this is the episode where you, you know, ask me questions, and we could focus on that the second half. And but I'm just saying that, like, give the people listening who may not have heard this before some context as to, like, yeah, you are new at this, but, like, how did you get into it?
Yeah, well, that was actually brings me to my point, because I was going to say a lot of people post, like, I don't know how to start.
Yep.
Like, I feel like but they know how to post much, that. Yeah. There's so much in front of them, and they do not know how to start. And I would say, like, the biggest thing, like, I started writing because an opportunity presented itself, and I used to act when I was younger, and I kind of got into this mentality where it's like, you say yes to the opportunity and figure out how to do it later. Like, you say yes, you get in, and then you figure your shit out. So I feel like whenever I see posts on Facebook and these industry groups just saying, like, I want to do music, I'm working as a barista, I'm, like, I'm a student, I just started college, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to do this, give me advice. I'm sure there's people that are just looking for people to come, like, I have a job, take it. But it's also one of those things where, you know, you do what you like, still go to shows. If you need to start your own thing as well, if you want to be a writer, if you want to be a blogger, start your own blog. Start doing it. Don't just sit there and wait for someone to give you the opportunity to do it. And I think, like, Scott is a good person to talk about that. And we will have to go into it in the second half because we have 2 minutes left. But, you know, you started a management company from the ground up.
Yeah, that's true. And I just want to give a shout out to anyone on the planet who wants to do something and does it. And something you said about, you know, saying yes, I agree with most of that. I think that saying yes to opportunities, meaning like yourself and internalizing things and getting things done. Mm-hmm. Yes, but never promising someone to anyone else unless you can do it. Yes. Like an I try or I understand works better there. But in terms of being an artist manager, I mean, yeah, thank you. No, I did it myself. I was working at a law firm after I'd quit the City Drive, and even like towards the tail end of Lido Beach, I was working like 30 hours a week, and I was also teaching, and I was playing shows, and I was doing a lot of stuff. And I became an artist manager very, very quickly and accidentally. And a few weeks later, I quit. I quit the firm, not management. And I had a little bit saved up from working at the firm. Not that much. I wish I had a trust fund. I don't. And I also had the loving support of my then girlfriend. Yeah, she wasn't even my wife or my fiance. Or I don't own her. She was. I was not her husband or her fiance. And yeah, I guess we're pretty much done with segment one. I can't wait to see what else you're going to ask me. Yeah.
Well, I think we should pick up on that in segment two.
Sick.
And just kind of give all those people out there, not just hope, but, you know.
No, just give them hope.
Yeah, give them hope.
I'm going to throw away this apple while you finish the segment, and then you'll knock on the window. I would love it if you would come up with several adjectives.
All right. Well, the adjective I would give this show is sporadic, but, you know, in a good way. I think.
God damn it, Emily.
Hey, god damn you. All right, fuck you all, bye.
Fuck you all, bye. No, I was saying that to start segment two. We're, this is going on, like, fuck you all, bye. That's okay. That's how we're starting it.
Fuck you all, hello. Yeah.
Fake Hellos, Real Goodbyes.
Fake Hellos, Real Goodbyes is an album by Lido Beach.
Who dat?
I know my Scott Waldman history.
Yeah, and I just gave you a Green Light Theory t-shirt. And you have Lido Beach swag, just no same trap swag. And you should buy some Gucci certain swag.
Huh?
All right,
to get back. So at the end of segment one, we were talking about Scott building up his management company from the ground up. And now we are here and you have a full-time assistant, everything, who is amazing. And, you know, you have all these artists and you have producers and all these people under you and, like, you're working with now. And it's been, what, 2-3 years?
3 years. I started in March of 2015. And it's been almost three and a half years. So almost a full presidential term.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was it something that you were mulling over before when you were still doing music, or did it just come out of nowhere? Because I know you said it started.
I was playing in GLT and Lido at the time, but I never thought about it for anyone else other than myself, because most musicians are narcissistic sociopaths.
Yeah.
Zing. But I had a former guitar student who, to make a very long story short, asked me for advice, gave it to her. Things were going all right. I just on the fly was like, you need a manager. You want me to do it? And it happened. And I actually stopped working with her like a week after that for whatever reason. But it was an idea that just happened. I was just like, wait a second. I've been doing this for every band I've been in. Even when we had managers, I was that guy that, like, I said this on the Crooners and Coffee Shop interview, that neurotic dude in the band that, like, tried to get things done. Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah. I will just nod and smile. And yeah, I guess 3.5 years later, I have a full-time assistant named you, and I'm grateful to you, as I will repeatedly say ad nauseum, and clients that pay my bills, and some clients that cause me constant duress. But
nature of the beast.
I'm choosing this life, and I'm very grateful that one person like even believed in me in 2015 when I started, and people took a chance on me when, I mean, I had no management experience. So that question you asked, I had none. I mean, I had success with other bands that I've been in, but I mean, I didn't work at a big firm. I at first wanted to, now I don't. But like, I was just trying to get in.
All right. Well, here's a loaded question.
Oh, and fuck.
I know it's like actually kind of a an ongoing joke. And I know in the past interview with Wobby Funkel, I mentioned the show Metalocalypse, and I'm going to mention another show, BoJack Horseman, the ongoing joke of, what does a manager do anyway?
Okay. I mean, that's a very valid question that I get asked
all the time.
That's an understatement. I get asked that all the time to the nth power, and n is a positive number. You're a doctor, lawyer, therapist, nag. Put nag to the nth power. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're consigliere, but you work for the artist at the end of the day. So they're your boss. But you hope that, you know, when they take you on, they listen. And I'm not always right, but my heart's always in the right place. And I have some, you know, successes and some failures, but I try to learn from both.
The reason I want to ask that question mainly was
that a good answer?
I think it was a really good answer. Thank you. I mean, I'm sure there are people out there that are still going to be like, well, I don't know like what I should be doing. But
I hope that if you're a kid listening to this, you don't know what you're doing. I really do. I mean, it's good to have passions, and it's good, but there's a lot of trial and error that goes along with everything. And one of the best things that I found about going to University of Michigan and studying English was taking a bunch of classes that I hated and knowing what I didn't want to do.
Well, yeah, so that's actually who I wanted to kind of aim this episode towards, is like people who are young and who listen and who,
well, that's Adobe's general audience, know. Typically, yeah. I think
who don't know exactly what they want to do, or if they want to go into music and they're like, I have no idea where to start, because it's a scary thing.
You start
to
by tuning into Waldman's Words.
Yes.
And the first edition of Burke's Words, which is still on the Waldman's Words show.
But you know, you look at the industry, or even just like, because we work a lot in like the scene, as people would put it, and it's like there's so much, and there's so many people who have sort of like implemented themselves, and you feel kind of overwhelmed by it. And I feel like, you know, having an episode where like two people who have worked in there and who like both got in different ways, kind of saying like, hey, it's possible, and there's so many different things. And I know when I first started college, I didn't even know that being a manager to
where do you go to school currently?
Drexel University.
What year are you going into at Drexel?
I'm going to be a senior.
That's pretty sweet. When does that start? September. And why are you leaving me? I mean, what? And when did your full-time position start?
In July.
That's right. And it's almost, well, actually, by the time this episode airs, I believe
I'll have like 2 weeks.
No. I think this episode is going to 100% air in September.
Ooh.
Because Wobbies is airing the last
end of
yeah,
August.
Yeah, so this will be the the post Labor Day episode.
Hi guys.
What's up, Labor? And we're working.
Yeah. Ooh. But I just want to, I'm still in college. If you're still in college, just going in, I had no idea that this was a career option at all.
I still don't know if it's a career option. Oh God.
I'm sure that makes everyone feel really good.
Yeah, listen to me.
But I didn't know that it was even possible to do that, that this was even a job in the realm of music. I just kind of knew I wanted to work in music, and I had no experience in it at all. I thought it was going to be a theater major, honestly. Fun and labor fact.
Stop me in the sky. I walk to you and I go to the ground. That's I just made
beautiful.
That up. Thank you. Wait, didn't we just see a show with my mother-in-law? It's true.
It was me, Scott, and Scott's mother-in-law. We saw Waitress together.
Which is fucking awesome.
It was a great show. Also, shout out to Scott's mother-in-law and all her animals, because I love them all.
Damn Skippy hippie.
Skippy. Oh, Ginger. Ah, okay, cute dogs. But so just being a manager and everything didn't even click in my mind. Never thought about it at all. I think you accidentally fell into management. I accidentally fell into management.
You really accidentally fell into it. You were almost like, you were hired as an intern to do some PR stuff with a band and eventually prove that you were fucking awesome. And true. Selective modesty. And then eventually became just the assistant to me as opposed to the assistant for a particular project. And pretty fucking recently you started co-managing an incredible band named 18th and Addison. Oh, how does so that good. Make you feel?
Hey, are you interviewing the host?
I'll shut up. Honestly, you ask me questions on my show.
That's true. I, first of all, was a little overwhelmed, but in like the best way, just because I felt like things happened.
Way to lead fast. With the little overwhelmed, though. That's like,
yeah, no worries.
That she does that well too. Like, oh my God, this meal was really like a little spicy, but I loved it.
I really do have a resting bitch voice, and you know, everyone who like knows me really well that I bring it up to is like, you know what? Yeah, you did.
Well, who came up with that term?
You did.
And for the record, if when you have your own show, I want it to be called Resting Bitch Voice.
I think that'd be a great title for
a show. I think it's an insanely good title for a show.
Yeah.
I suggest registering the domain name.
I was about to be like, are you going to trademark it? And do I need to license it out for you?
I'm not
going to
trademark shit. It's your show. I'm not going to be that asshole. All right.
Yeah.
So we have a good 11 minutes.
Yeah.
What you want to know, girl?
I kind of like the way that the show is going where we're talking.
I kind of do too.
I wish we could have like live questions or something. Adobe, get on it.
Yeah, that's it. I've got a question for you, Mr. Catwoman. This is a question. What's up?
I have gotten none of that. I'm sorry, I don't speak Spanish.
It's not Spanish. And you're part of me.
Anyway, welcome to Burke's Words.
We just kicked that rabbit out of the room.
Yeah.
The rabbit was me.
But to go into like music and everything.
Music is everything.
Music is everything. Well, I want to go back to, because I didn't answer the 18th and Addison question. Love 18th and Addison. They're amazing.
I'm glad that you remembered that question. You co-manage them. It's half your job to remember that question.
Yeah, so I only half remember it. No, but honestly,
you only remember the 18th A and half the N?
Check them out on Spotify.
Check them out on Friendster.
Oh my God.
No, 18th Addison's fucking awesome. Yeah. I literally think that they're a co-ed version of Green Day, and I'm a huge, huge fan.
And it's my first band that I've managed.
True story.
I'm incredibly excited about it. What does a manager do anyway?
Yeah, what does a manager do? Well, I mean, you're new at this, so like, what does a manager do?
You know, I think being a source of support for the artist, and then also, you know, giving them kind of guidance in a way where it's like, hey, I know like what you like and I know what you want, and like, let's work together to make that happen.
And you actually are younger than both members of 18th and Addison and have less music experience, but they still trust you, which is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Well, I feel like age is something.
Age ain't nothing but a number, as R. Kelly said. Fucking creep.
Well, oh, yeah.
Ugh.
But I feel like that's something also as well where people are kind of like afraid, where it's like, oh, I'm too young or I can't do this because I'm not like old enough or whatever. And I felt kind of, before I turned 21, I felt a little bit like, oh, I can't do as much because I'm not 21. I can't go out and like have a drink with someone or like do any of that. But you know what? You find a way and you're all fine and dandy and everything. And it doesn't matter like age, or because people are always like, Scott's in his 30s, and I would have never guessed. I think actually the first day that we met, you asked me to guess how old you were.
Which I'm sorry I did that. No one ever knows. No, but it's tacky that I did that. I stopped doing that with people.
but no one ever knows.
Yeah, and bless your fucking heart. No one ever thinks I'm 37.
No, because you don't look it.
Well, and I don't act it, and I don't like This is a source of contention in my marriage.
Oh, but I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. It's great. Is that it? No, I look and act young. I do. And I'm also in a young industry in a super young city.
Is it even a young industry anymore? Like, do you feel like you are?
I'm antiquated as fuck.
Really?
To quote myself with the Wabi Funkel, where I taught him that word, I feel. I had a meeting with this manager. I'm not going to say his name, where it really pissed me off, where he was like, I'm 21. I'm just not where I want to be yet. And I was like, fuck you, dude. Like, you're complaining to, you know, someone who has a major disease that you have a headache. You know, it's like, I mean, everyone's journey is their journey. I just sounded super Facebook motivational speaker. But like, I've been doing this 3 years. I'm very happy, but I'm not complacent.
Mm-hmm.
And there are managers younger and older than you. I think that I'm extremely jealous of you for doing this at your age. Extremely jealous. When I was going into my senior year in college, this time I just left teaching guitar and bass at a camp. Eventually, the next summer, I was going to be the music head. I decided I was not going to go to law school. And then I revisited that again and then decided against it again after. And I had some songs that I was very proud of. You know, My Am I being one of them. And I moved to LA like
Super Bowl, everybody.
That did happen, 2013. and I just recorded an acoustic version of it. But the thing is that I had no idea that, you know, if I was 21, so that was 16 years ago, I had no idea that I would have a radio show or that I would be an artist manager or that I would even have a fucking assistant.
Yeah. And I find it so interesting that, because I guess everyone kind of has that thing where, in terms of age, which is so weird of all things.
You mean like societal mores or like?
Yeah, well, I just find it interesting. I feel like, you know, you're kind of an odd one out in terms of age and everyone is younger, because I have the feeling everyone is older and I feel like they're more.
There's managers that are older than me. There's people that are older. I'm not saying I'm like Mr. Burns here, but I go on a lot of meetings, and that's not a humble brag. I'm not going on Facebook and saying, go to 7 meetings today.
I hate that.
It's so, so annoying. But, like, I meet some people that are older than me, but I would say if I go on 10 meetings a week, which is doable, in fact, sometimes more, sometimes less, I'd say I'm older than 8 of the people I meet with.
I think that's like such an interesting thing. And I feel like people, you know, especially when it comes to entertainment careers, they feel like they're running out of time to begin it or something like
You're
that, which
never
is so
running
dumb.
Out of time.
Yeah. And it's, I feel like everyone
life is
has,
so short. That's the only thing we're running out of. Yeah. Is like, I'm sorry. I'm going to go on a rant now.
No, do it. Because I find like this conversation about age super interesting, because everyone has this, not an insecurity.
Preconceived notion of what they're supposed to do.
Of what they're supposed to do. Or they feel like everyone around them is older, everyone around them is younger, and it's
or
not
more
true.
Successful.
Or more successful than them at like their age. And it's not, like, everyone who works in this industry is in a different walk of life. That's just what it is.
Everyone works in every industry is in a different walk of life in some form. But I'm gonna go into this right now, because this is...
Please do.
The reason why... Thank you. Well, this is your question. We have 4.5 minutes. It might take this long. But basically, life is way too short to be complacent. It's so fucking short. My father hated his job, and he died working it. He was 59. There are plenty of people in better and worse situations. If you have a family and you have children, then you need to, quote unquote, suck it up more, but you could still pursue something that you don't live for the weekends for. But if you don't have those responsibilities, like the major financial, and you are doing something to delay the inevitable, or you are pursuing something that you know you won't like, eventually it's going to catch up to you. And you're younger than me. You don't have as many people in your life that have had careers. I mean, that's not an assumption. That's a fact.
Yeah.
And I'm 37, and I know a lot of people who, I'd say most of the people I know don't enjoy what they do. And I do okay. I mean, I pay my bills. I'm not amazing. I'm not like in the 1%. I mean, I guess I kind of technically am because I have running water, but that's another thing. But like, I pay you. I'm able to do that. But I think the major cost in my life would be going to some job for an extended amount of time that I hate. So that's, did I answer your question?
Yeah. And I think that was a really good way of putting things, especially for someone who is just starting out and has to start making decisions.
And is married and hopefully is going to be a father. Hopefully.
Oh my God.
And sometime, I mean, not today or not 9 months from today.
Yeah.
Maybe, who fucking knows, right? But it's just like, anyone listening, whether you're the CEO of a major Fortune 500 company or someone who has less music experience than Emily Burke did when she met with Scott Waldman at Cafe Lux.
Pretty little.
But anything, just try to do something that you enjoy or try to find that. And if you don't know what you enjoy, then try to find it.
And never feel guilty about taking the time to find something that you like.
Ever.
I feel like people do that where they're like, well, it's not, you know, I needed to be doing something productive. Finding out what you don't like and figuring out what you do like is
more important.
So productive. It's the best thing you possibly could do. Like, I had to leave public school because I didn't have time to figure out who am I, what do I like, and it was the greatest decision of my life. And I figured out I like music. And within a 4-year span, I am now here talking on Adobe Radio
as the co-host. Well, you're the host now.
Yeah.
But usually when you're in town, you're the co-host on the show. You edit every single episode, which sometimes takes more stress than others depending upon the quote-unquote fun guest. And you are a full-time assistant, and in a few weeks you're gonna be a full-time student again.
Mm-hmm.
But you at least know, and you might not be an artist manager forever. You might not. I mean, God willing, I hope you are. But like, I feel that at 21, like, you definitely have your shit together more than literally any 21-year-old I've ever met, including the 21-year-olds that I was 21 with. And I've never said that to you, but it's true.
And I appreciate it.
And we have 30 seconds.
Go do what you love. And thank you to Scott Waldman for letting me talk into this microphone for 45 minutes. And thank you for talking in it with me.
Thank you for stopping the intro accidentally early. This intro will probably be my favorite intro just because of that.
I think it'll be Gookshi's favorite intro because that's all I talk about.
That's amazing. So yeah, if you want to know more about me, just keep listening to the show.
Yeah. At Scott Lewis Waldman on Instagram, at Lido Beach on Twitter,
yep.
And then Scott Waldman on Facebook.
Yeah. And I just want to say that Emily did a great job, and you could tune into this show when it's back to Waldman's words every single Tuesday at 5:00 Pacific, 8:00 Eastern, rerunning every single Sunday morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. Go on the Adobe app or go on Adobe and just stream every site. Every show, too. Stream everything, but you can listen to every episode of the show. Go on iTunes, subscribe for free. And the adjective I will use to describe what I'm going to do right now is rush.
Love it. Bye, guys. Oh.